It was the contest of a lifetime, and it occurred about 2,500 years ago in Israel. And to set the stage for this contest, it wasn't really a Super Bowl, but it was just as important, maybe even more important as the Super Bowl. You have this guy named Elijah. And Elijah was a prophet, and in the northern kingdom, there was a king named Ahab. And Ahab had allowed the prophets of Baal to come and to start worship in the northern kingdom. And so Ahab and his wife Jezebel were perfectly okay with this. And they worshiped Baal in the northern kingdom of Israel. This was not a good thing. And so Elijah comes to Ahab and says, you got to get rid of Baal worship. And of course, Ahab doesn't do it. And Jezebel, who really kind of liked Baal, was really against it. And so they decided to have a contest, a Super Bowl, if you will. And they decided to meet on Mount Carmel. Now, Ahab and Jezebel were there, as many people of Israel were there, and they brought 450 prophets of Baal to Mount Carmel. And then on the other side was Elijah. Now, if this was a true Super Bowl game, who would win? The 450 over the one. But this isn't just Elijah by himself. It's Elijah with the power of God. So they decided they're going to do a contest. They're going to sacrifice a bull on the altar. And Elijah says, okay, you guys of Baal, you sacrifice your bull first. And so they put the wood on the altar, and they cut up the bull and they put it on there. And the deal was is that they had to pray to Baal to come and to start the altar on fire to bring up the sacrifice. So they cut it up and they prepare it. And then all of a sudden, all these 450 prophets of Baal, they start going around the altar and they start praying to their God, and they're waiting for the fire to come down. And nothing happens. Nothing happens. They pray harder. They dance harder. They go around the altar harder. Nothing happens. Now at this point, Elijah starts to get a little bit, he starts to do some trash talking, like they do in these Super Bowl contests. And he looks at the prophets of Baal and he goes, well, where is your God? Maybe he's asleep, huh? Or maybe he went away on vacation. Or maybe you need to pray louder because he can't hear you. I mean, he's really giving it to them good, right? And so they try harder, they try harder, they're getting angrier, and they wait and nothing happens. And finally says, enough, Elijah says, enough. He says, now it's my turn. So he goes and he builds his altar, and he puts 12 stones around the altar, one for each of the tribes of Judah. And then he puts the wood down and he puts the bull down. And he goes, now just to make this interesting, he says, what I want you to do is that I want you to go get 4 jars of water, and I want you to pour it all over the fire. So they go and they get 4 jars of water and they pour it all around the fire. And he goes, why don't you do that a second time? So they go and they pour 4 jars around on the fire. And Elijah says, you know, just to make sure, why don't you just do it one more time? So they go get 4 jars of water and they pour it around the fire. And then Elijah looks back and he looks up to God and he does the Tebow. I had to throw that in there, okay? And he prays and the fire comes down from heaven. And it's not just any fire, okay? The fire comes down, it consumes the wood, it consumes the bull, it consumes the rocks, and it consumes the earth around the rocks. This is a major, major, major fire. There is nothing left. And Ahab sees this, and he realizes what has happened, that the God who created the heavens and the earth is the one that gives them shelter and protection in Israel, and they brought in these other prophets. And so he declares that all of the prophets of Baal should be killed. So Elijah kills the 450 prophets of Baal. So that's the precursor to this morning's Old Testament reading. Because in the Old Testament reading for this morning, Elijah just has this most amazing victory, and he gets the whole entire nation of Israel to realize the power of God, and he's riding on high. He's just won the Heisman Trophy of the Old Testament, and you would think that it would be a great thing for him. But what happens? Let's look at 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 2. Now Ahab, now that's the king, told Jezebel, that's the wife, the angry wife, everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Verse 2, so Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah and said, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them. So Jezebel says, listen, you Elijah, you just did that. If you're not dead by tomorrow, then may the gods deal severely with me because I'm going to make sure that you're dead. Now, is this a threat to Elijah? I mean, my goodness, Elijah just called down upon the power of God to take this fire and consume it. So you would think that Elijah's like, yeah, give me your best shot and start trash talking to Jezebel. But what happens? Let's look. Verse 3. Elijah was afraid and he ran for his life. And when he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. While he himself went a day's journey into the desert, he came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Now, does this strike you as odd? That Elijah, who just beat the 450 prophets of Baal with the powerful help of God, that he should turn tail and run and hide and say, I wish I were dead. I wish it had never happened. I want my life to just die. I've had enough. Lord, take my life. I'm no better than anybody. How is it that we got from the one strong, confident Elijah to Elijah that's, you know, I was going to say a football team, but I'm not going to go there. Because there are probably people here who are like that, that like that team. How is it that he would do that? Well, the answer is in the beginning of 5. The answer is this. Then he lay down under the tree, and he fell asleep. You see, Elijah was tired. After confronting the prophets of Baal, after calling upon the Lord, after doing all these great things, he was simply exhausted. And he couldn't go on anymore. And he wasn't thinking clearly. Today we're going to talk about the REST app. We've already gone through 2 other apps. You may remember that. The first day we looked at the forgiveness app. And then last week we talked about the confession app. Well, today we're going to talk about the REST app. Because there is an app in the Bible. There's an app in the Bible that tells you to rest. You all know what that REST app is. It's the 3rd commandment. Remember, honor the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. God wants us to rest. How many people in our life, how many of you are so overloaded during the week that you just simply don't have time to rest? Wouldn't you like to be able to just rest once in a while? You know, what's funny is that When Ahab was there, when Elijah was there in Israel, it took every ounce of energy from to morning till night to wake up, to find enough food, find enough water, to find shelter, to keep yourself alive. And so when you went to bed at the end of the day to sleep, you were absolutely exhausted. And yet today we have so many things that have made our life so much better. We have all these conveniences of life, so you would think that our life would be 100 times better, right? But how many of us are still running on fumes, going from place to place, trying to do the shopping and the cooking and take the kids where they need to go and try to do all these things, and we get to the end of the day and it's like, and I got to do this all again tomorrow? When's it going to stop? And you're saying, well, maybe when I retire. But I know some of you are retired. It doesn't stop then. And I have to tell you, I got something in the mail this week. This is from the AARP. Addressed to David Hook. They have it wrong, okay? Just, they made a mistake. I'm never retiring, ever. Going forth. Wouldn't it be great if we could just rest? And God tells us to rest. God tells us to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy, and to rest on the Sabbath day. And that's an app that we can take to the bank. But the question I ask for you this morning is why? Why is it that God wants us to simply rest on the Sabbath? Well, we're going to look at that this morning very quickly. And in order to do that, I want to talk about human nature. And to look at human nature, I'd like to bring up a graph, a figure on the screen. This is a graph that shows on this axis effort, intensity, work, and on this axis, productivity. How well you're getting things done. Now, most of the time, we stay in position A, right? We do work. If we decide we need to do more work, then we put in a little bit more effort, and we can start to move up towards B. And I actually know some people who work really, really well when they're closer to B than they are closer to A. They just love the intensity of getting that work done. But there's a danger when you're in position B. And that is, if you are working so hard and so intense and you're not leaving any room for error, all of a sudden something comes into your life, like a kid needs something, he's sick at home, or a parent needs something, or the job needs something. And if you're always operating at position B, then you're going to end up in position C. Now, position C is a very, very dangerous, bad position to be in. And you've all been there. It seems like no matter what you do, no matter how hard you push, no matter how hard you try, your productivity level is not going up, it's going down when you're at position C. And the solution, of course, is to rest, right? The solution is to break away from that activity and to stop work and to let your body and your mind and your soul relax and then start up again. And when you do that, you go from position C all the way back to position A, or maybe somewhere between A and B, and you can think about it more clearly. I can prove this to you by how many of you have ever worked on a crossword puzzle. And you're looking for the answer, and you're looking, and you're thinking, and you're thinking, and you're trying to figure out the crossword puzzle, and there's just one more word left, and all the letters are there, and it's just not working, and you put it down, you go away, and you come back in an hour, and all of a sudden it's just right there. Or you're working on a homework problem, kids, and you just can't get it, you can't get it, and no matter how hard you try, you're at position C. If you just stop and put it away and come back, and all of a sudden it's as clear as day. You see, position C is a very, very dangerous place to be. Position C does God no good in your life. If you're in position C, you are completely like Ahab, and it's like, Lord, take my life. I can't handle it anymore. You're not even thinking clearly. And yet, so many people today are between B and C and living their life that way. And they have no idea why things aren't going well. They have no idea what's going on in their life. God says, put it away. And a great way to do that is to remember the Sabbath, to just stop one day a week, to relax, to do something that's totally different, to enjoy life, refresh yourself, and when you do that, you go back to position A. Now, is that it? Is that the only reason why God wants us to remember the Sabbath? Or is there something else? And I believe that there is something else. And I believe that something else goes back to creation. Because at creation, God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and in the seventh day, he rested. Now, who created and who rested? It was God who created the universe, created the heavens, created you, and on the seventh day, he rested. He is the creator. He is the one that rested. You see, when we think that God didn't create the universe, didn't rest, we get into a very, very dangerous place to be. When Jesus was walking with his disciples, they came through a wheat field, and while they were in the wheat field, his disciples took some heads of grain. Now, this was on a Sabbath day. And the Pharisees said, Jesus, you're doing work on the Sabbath. But what did Jesus say? He says, you don't understand what the Sabbath is all about. The Sabbath was the rest of eternity. When God created you and put you in the Garden of Eden, you were going to live an whole entire life of Sabbath. But when you sinned, you were no longer in the garden. Now you had to work for life. Now you had to be at position A or B. Sabbath goes away. But one day a week, God wants you to remember that he still is the God of the universe. He wants you to take that one day a week, and he wants you to enjoy the creation. He wants you to get a foretaste of what heaven's going to be like. He wants you to understand that you are his precious child, that he created you in a whole entirely different way than you are living your life. We're running around from 8 to 5 or 8 to 8 or whatever, trying to run kids around everywhere, and we're not getting enough time to do all the things, and we think, oh my goodness, is this all there is to life? It's not the life that Jesus Christ and God created for you. He created for you a life to live at A, in the Garden of Eden. And part of remembering Sabbath is to remember God's holiness and that God created a day of rest. It's a joyous day to go out and enjoy his creation. I remember the first time that we went to Cienega Creek Preserve as a family. We walk in there. It was just stunningly beautiful. There's so many beautiful places. There's so much of God's creation that he created for us. And if you're busy at B all the time, you'll never take the time to stop and go enjoy God's creation. Jesus had it well when he said in Mark 2:27, then Jesus said to him, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. You see, we get it all wrong. We think that God created a Sabbath day so that we would sit there and obey God all the time on Sabbath day, but that's not. He created the Sabbath day so that we could enjoy God's creation. So today, when you get out of church, go home and enjoy the Super Bowl game. That's part of the relaxation. That's part of God's creation. He created football. Men, go home and watch this Super Bowl. Women, go home and watch the Super Bowl. God wants you to enjoy the day. He wants you to see his creation in all its glory. But is that all there is? See, I think there's just one more element. And to set up this element, I want to go to our reading this morning from Revelation. Revelation. And the smoke of their torment rises forever and ever. There is no rest day or night for those who worship the beast and his image, or for anyone who receives the mark of his name. And let's go to verse 13. Then I heard a voice from heaven say, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. Can we go back to that graph, Rich? You see, there's a message here in the Sabbath, and that is this. God wants you to be at position A. God wants you to live the whole and abundant life. And when you get to heaven, you're going to be living at position A. But for those people who have not been redeemed by God, for those people who have not followed Jesus Christ, who have not been baptized, they're going to live at position C for eternity. Think about that. That is the very definition of what it would be to be in hell, if you ask me, is to try and try and try and try and to still be at position C. You see, and in our lives, if we don't have God in our life, we're like fighting against God. And so sometimes God pushes back against our life. It's like having the best offense in the world on the other team. No matter what you do, you just can't get any yardage. But if you've got God on your side, if God has redeemed you and claimed you, if the power of Jesus Christ lives in you, you are no longer fighting against God. God is on your side. And with God on your side, you've got the best offense. You can take all the time you want to throw that pass because nobody's getting through. You're working with God. See, the fact is, there's two ways to live your life, A and B. And A is having God on your side, understanding that Jesus Christ has redeemed you. And C is not having God on your side. That's the power of the Sabbath message that God wants to give us from the third commandment. So we finish up our story. We left Elijah. He was sitting there, lay down under a tree, and he fell asleep. But then what happened? I love this. He had just done a great thing from God. What does God do? All at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. And so he looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread, baked over hot coals in a jar of water. Oh, man, that must have been good. Hot bread and a jar of water. And he ate and he drank. And then he lay down again. And then the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." And so he got up and he ate and he drank. And strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb and the mountain of God. God took care of Elijah because Elijah had been doing God's will. God takes care of us because we've been redeemed by his Son. And someday we will go to that wonderful picture of heaven and we will no longer be fighting against God. We'll be on his side and we will live with him forever in peace and in rest. There's a quote by Augustine, St. Augustine, that when he looked at this Sabbath, I don't know if we have this quote, but he said basically, our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. Because you put the